Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. I'm glad you could join us today. I've been doing a series entitled, You Must Be Born Again, and this is the third message in that series. And of course, what I'm doing in these messages is showing the necessity and the nature of what we call the new birth. And the base text that I'm using is John chapter 3, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. This is part 3. If you haven't heard the first two, You Must Be Born Again, that's the title. And the first two messages I've already done. And if you haven't heard those, get those. If you want to study your Bibles, what I do is try to infiltrate these messages with the Scripture. Some people say I use too much, but I don't think that's possible. But I want to show you what the Word of God, the Bible, God's inerrant, inspired Word says about being born again. You must be born again. And of course, in John chapter 3, this is where the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to a lost religious man named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Christ by night. Now, he had some regard for Jesus of Nazareth, but he didn't believe Jesus of Nazareth to be the Christ or the Messiah. And it says in verse 2 of John 3, the same Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And a Pharisee was a Jewish religionist. They were like the moral majority. They were the conservative sect of Old Testament Judaism. But they had perverted the Word of God, even the Old Testament, with the traditions of men. And it's much the same today in religion, even that which calls itself Christianity. Much of what is called Christianity is not Christian at all, because it doesn't go by the teachings of Jesus Christ. A Christian is a person, is a sinner saved by grace, who believes in and trusts and rests in the Lord Jesus Christ for all salvation, for all forgiveness, all righteousness, eternal life and glory, and they follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. And there's so many, and I wrote a book on that. What is a Christian? You can order it. We'll give it to you free of charge. If you want to examine yourself and test your claim of being a Christian, get that book and study it. And it's infiltrated with Scripture. That's what it is. How do I know I'm really a Christian? What is a Christian? And that's very important, because the Bible tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 1 and 2, that the world does not even know what a Christian is. So understand that. But anyway, so many, like Nicodemus, they claim to be followers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but because of their traditions and because they were steeped in self-righteousness and self-will, it's just like today, it's a religion of works and the will, the works of men and the wills of men. Man makes the difference. They actually denied the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They denied the gospel of God's grace. And when Jesus of Nazareth came on the scene, he challenged the Pharisees. You remember even in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 20, he makes this statement. He said, and you understand now, the Pharisees were accusing him of being a lawbreaker because he wouldn't go along with their traditions. And Christ said, I didn't come to break the law, I came to keep the law. They weren't keeping the law. But he was. And he said in Matthew 5:20, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Later on, he said this to them. Think about this. Think about saying this to religious folk today. The publicans and the harlots will enter the kingdom of heaven before you. Because why is that? Well, it's because the righteous don't need salvation. The righteous don't need repentance. The sick don't need a physician. Christ came to call sinners to repentance, real sinners. And the Pharisees were sinners, but they just wouldn't acknowledge it. They wouldn't confess it. And some of them looked at Christ, looked at Jesus of Nazareth. This is the way they would see him. They looked at him as a blasphemer, sin of the devil, a wine bibber, an insurrectionist, all of that, a lawbreaker. But Nicodemus had more regard for him. And he said, for no man, this is verse 2, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So Nicodemus saw Jesus of Nazareth as a prophet sent of God, but not as the Savior, not as the Lord of glory, not as the King of kings. And then Christ said in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or born from above. So he's talking about a new birth, a spiritual birth that comes from heaven, comes from God. Except a man be born from above, born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot understand it savingly. He cannot see its value. He cannot see its reality, its worthiness, how much it means. You see, if you're born again by the Spirit from above, born of God, you have what we call spiritual eyes. And I'm going to show you that in just a moment. Spiritual ears. You remember in the book of Acts chapter 7 when Stephen preached the gospel in Jerusalem and they rejected him. And he told them, he says, you are uncircumcised in heart and in ears. That's a spiritual circumcision. I dealt with that last week when we talked about Romans 2, 28 and 29, that circumcision is that of the heart and not of the flesh. That's the new birth. The new birth is called a spiritual circumcision. And in the new birth, a person who is naturally dead in trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2, 1, is quickened, given life from above. It's the resurrection life of Christ, you see. And there are so many scriptures that we can go to support this reality of the new birth. You must be born again. Back during the 70s, I remember when Jimmy Carter was president, you know, he claimed to be born again, a born-again Christian. And I heard a lot of people, I remember hearing a lady on a TV show, TV talk show one time, she said, well, I've been a Christian for 15 years and I've never been born again yet. They don't know what it is. You cannot be a true Christian if you haven't been born again. And so the term born again Christian became popular. Well, my friend, there's no other kind of Christian but one who's been born again. You can't be a Christian. You can't believe in Christ. You cannot follow Christ. You cannot love Christ except you're born again. And that's what Christ is saying here. Except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And what is that? Well, Nicodemus, look at verse 4. He says unto him, he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, Nicodemus, I don't believe he was being facetious here. I think he was showing his ignorance, even his ignorance of the Old Testament. And he says in verse 5, that Christ answered him in verse 5, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Born of water. Now, there are two interpretations of this issue of born of water here, neither which do damage to the gospel. You know, sometimes even believers can differ on the interpretation of a particular scripture as long, now listen to this, as long as their interpretation does not deny the basic principles of the gospel of grace. There are some people who hold interpretations of particular scriptures that deny and challenge and oppose the gospel of God's grace. No scripture will deny, challenge, or oppose the basic principles of the gospel, the good news of how God saves sinners. By His grace, through the blood of Christ, through His righteousness imputed, as I say so often. No scripture will deny that. And so if you look at a scripture, and this I deal with this in the book that I wrote talking about biblical interpretation, rightly dividing the word, how the rules of scripture interpretation. If you look at a scripture and you don't know the actual right interpretation of a particular scripture, know this first. Whatever it means, it will not deny, challenge, confuse the basic gospel principles of how God saves sinners. That's a truth. The gospel is a truth. The gospel of God's free and sovereign grace through the blood and righteousness of Christ is a truth that is set forth in Genesis and all the way through the Bible and never changes. And whatever scripture you're on, and you know, when you read scripture, you know, you've got to realize that language is sometimes difficult. But whatever interpretation you give it, if it denies, challenges, opposes anything of the gospel, it's the wrong one. You don't have it right. So leave it alone. That's what I tell people. Early on, when I first became a believer, somebody would ask me about a particular verse, and I didn't know the interpretation. And you know what I told them? I said, well, I don't know, but I know what the gospel is. And in time, I may have learned what that scripture means in light of the gospel. And that's how we interpret the Bible. But sometimes you can look at a passage, and even believers can differ, hold different interpretations, but neither interpretation will deny the gospel. And that's the way it is with this verse here when he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What's he talking about, born of water? Some people believe that because of Nicodemus's question that he's talking about physical birth. Yes, you have to be born physically. Well, why would he say that? Well, listen to Nicodemus. He said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Christ is saying, well, no, except you be born that first time physically and born the second time, the new birth. Reborn by the Spirit, you cannot enter in the kingdom of God. Now, he's clear. The first birth, the physical birth, will not get you into the kingdom of God. Because by nature, we're born in sin. Now, I talked about this, how we're ruined by the fall. And that's why if we're going to be saved, we're ruined by the fall. We all fell in Adam. We fell into a state of sin and death. Spiritually dead. We can't do anything spiritually in that state until we're born again by the Spirit. But our first birth, our physical birth, was a birth in sin. We're born into a state of sin and death. All of us now. And so if we're going to enter the kingdom of God, if we're going to see the kingdom of God, we have to be born again. We have to be given spiritual eyes. Now, and that's what we read over here in John chapter 1 and verse 12 when it talks about as many as received Him, to them gave He the right, the power, the right to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born, verse 13, not of blood, not coming out of your mother's womb physically, Not of blood, not of physical birth, nor the will of the flesh, which is the works of the flesh, not of the works of the flesh, nor of the will of man. That is, not by your choosing or opting in your will to do so. You don't will yourself into the kingdom of God, as preachers sometimes say today. You know, God loves you, Christ died for you, now you make the deciding vote. That's not the way it is. That's not biblical. That's not the gospel. That's a false gospel. But you're not born of the will of man. You're born of God, see? So in this passage here in verse 5, the water could be talking about physical birth. And if that's what you believe, if that's what I believe, that does no damage to the gospel of God's grace. The second interpretation of that is that the water is emblematic for the Word of God. And the reason that's said is because the new birth is the operation and work of the Holy Spirit using the water of the Word to give life to dead sinners. And I believe that. That's true. So now, both are true. Now, what did Christ have in mind? Was he talking about physical birth here, or was he talking about the Word of God? Don't know, but my tendency is to think he's talking about the Word. But we won't go into that. Neither interpretation does damage to the gospel of God's grace. Neither interpretation challenges the righteousness of Christ, freely imputed as the only ground of a sinner's justification, and the only source of a sinner being born again, having life from the dead. So verse 5 again of John 3. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Is the new birth a necessity? Yes, it is. If you're not born again, you cannot see, understand, believe, love, you cannot embrace. You won't come to Christ unless you're born again. And he says, the reason is, look at verse 6, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Now, this may be a support for the water there being, in verse 5, being physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Physical birth cannot produce spiritual things, spiritual life. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And in this, the flesh, in humanity, fallen humanity, the flesh is sinful. The flesh is spiritually dead. Now, Christ was made of flesh in his humanity, but his flesh was not spirit, his flesh was not sinful. He is God manifest in the flesh. He's the Word made flesh. But his flesh was not sinful. He was born of the Spirit without the aid of man, conceived in the womb of the Virgin by the Holy Spirit. So yes, he was a man, but he was more than a man. He was God-man. He was sinless man. And his flesh was different from ours. I was born in sin. You were born in sin. I was born spiritually dead. You were born spiritually dead. And that which is born of flesh is flesh. Verse 6, and that which is born of the Spirit, born of the Holy Spirit, is spirit, is spiritual. Spiritual life. Now, so he says in verse 7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be born from above. Now, what he's telling Nicodemus there is that Nicodemus was a student of the Scriptures. But it's sad how people can study the Bible and not know its message. Over in John 5, Christ told the Pharisees, he says, you do search the Scriptures, verse 39. You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They're they which testify of me. They read the Bible. What Bible they had, they read, they studied, they memorized, they interpreted, they wrote commentaries, but they missed Christ. They missed the understanding of righteousness. Paul wrote about that in Romans 9 and 10. The Jews, which followed after the law, they studied the law. They sought to live by the law. And they wanted to attain righteousness, a perfection of the law, the perfection of righteousness found in the law. But they missed it, he said, because they sought it by their works and not by faith. That is, not by looking to Christ, who is the perfection of the law. To everyone that believeth. You see, that's what the Bible teaches. And today, people have replaced it with all kinds of things. And the main heresy today that people have replaced it with is faith. In other words, they've made faith not the way that a sinner, by the power of the Holy Spirit, lays hold of Christ and receives Christ and submits to Him as their righteousness. They've made their faith their righteousness itself, and that's a deception. And so they sought it not by faith, but by works. And so He says, don't be amazed that I said to you, Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's been taught all along. And then verse 8, here's something He tells us. He says, this is John 3:8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. In other words, the wind blows where it blows. You're not out there with a rope or a guide or something controlling it. And thou hearest the sound thereof. You can hear the wind. When a storm comes along and it's outside, the wind's blowing hard and you can hear it. All right? You know there's a wind blowing. And He says, but you cannot tell whence it cometh. Now, you might be able to tell what direction the wind's coming from, but you don't know how it all started and how it's going to end up and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, you know what He's telling them there? Telling us there? He's telling the only way that you can know the new birth is by its evidence. You hear it. You see it. You can feel the wind. If you go outside, it blows leaves and pine straw down here in the south all over the place. Sometimes blows limbs down. And you can see it. But now when you look out there and you don't actually see something, an entity called the wind, I mean, I know sometimes you can see a tornado or a hurricane, but usually the wind is just clear air. And that's the only way you know it's there is because it's blowing and you can feel it. You can hear the sound thereof. And that's what He's saying. The new birth, the coming of the Spirit to operate invincibly and powerfully in the life of a person, a life of a dead sinner, to give that sinner life, can only be known by its evidence. And what are the evidences? Now, there's where we get into a lot of different things in the Scripture. Well, you know, He said back there in John chapter 3, He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't see it. And I want you to look over in the book of Matthew chapter 13. What He's saying here is in the new birth, we're given spiritual eyes. If you're born again, you've been given spiritual eyes. Now, spiritual eyes, it has to do with a knowledge and an understanding by which the Holy Spirit powerfully and invincibly works faith. Gives faith, believing, trusting, depending, relying upon Christ for all salvation, and brings a sinner to see his own sinfulness and depravity. I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I cannot make myself righteous. I cannot do enough good to qualify for salvation, for heaven, for blessings. Because I have no good, the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That's what happens. See, the Pharisees thought they were righteous because they kept the law. But they didn't keep the law and they weren't righteous at all. People today think that if you do enough, if you believe enough, if you're sincere enough, if you give enough, if you're moral enough, if you're kind enough, then that'll be enough. Well, if you think that, you don't have spiritual eyes to see. You haven't seen yourself. You haven't seen your sinfulness and your depravity. Here's what the Bible teaches. Do you see this? Ask yourself. The Bible teaches that man at his best is altogether vanity. That is worthless. Now, you say, well, wait a minute. You mean it's worthless if I go out here and try to be a good person and try to do well and try to be charitable and kind and all? Listen, we always have to make this distinction when we're talking about salvation, when we're talking about the Bible. All of us should try to be the best people that we can be. in every way, in every walk of life. As we grow up, a child should be an obedient child, an obedient student, good student. Mothers and fathers, bosses, employees, in every aspect, we should be the best that we can be. But and that's worth something in this world. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to washing away my sins, when it comes to establishing a righteousness before holy God, all of that is worthless. You believe that? If you don't, that means you don't have eyes to see. You see, the Bible teaches us that righteousness can only come by the grace of God through the obedience unto death of the Lord Jesus Christ as the surety, substitute, and redeemer of His people. In order to be saved, in order to have a right relationship with God, I must have a righteousness that answers and equals the demands of God's justice. And that can only be found in Christ. It's not found in me. If God were to judge me by that standard of righteousness based upon my best efforts to keep the law, I would be damned forever. The Bible says that in Acts 17:31, that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent because He has appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, in that He hath given assurance unto all men. Now, and over in Matthew chapter 13, Christ had been speaking in parables. And I'll start here next week, because I notice my time is running out. And that's okay. This is a series of messages. But he'd been preaching the gospel. And, you know, people like the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people, rejected it. And Christ tells His disciples why over in Matthew 13. We'll begin there next week. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.